Jim, how's everybody's day?
Vlad, the man with the plan. It is going well, sir. It is 11 p.m. here in Singapore. Just got off the Twitter space with the Cosmoverse guys, which is great. I see a lot of familiar faces here that were in that space. So thanks for joining this space as well, Lunatics. Appreciate you. I think we can get started, Vlad. I think it's just going to be Vlad and I. This is Zion for those who aren't aware. Head of comms at TFL. Vlad, do you want to introduce yourself briefly as well?
Cool. Yeah. My name is Vlad. Thanks for the quick intro, Zion. I'm the head of apps or apps team lead at TFL. And at the moment, what we're publicly building is Enterprise DAO and Warp. Enterprise is a no code DAO creation and tooling suite. Where you can manage your communities and do some pretty interesting things with DAOs like multi-sigs, NFT DAOs, and token DAOs. And then Warp DAO. And Warp is a decentralized automation service that runs on a network of permissionless keepers that allows you to basically queue up transactions for the future without having to use your own bots.
Cool. I think what we'll do in this space this week, so we've got about an hour, and I think I want to just have kind of an organic discussion with the Terra community, to be honest, Vlad, if that's cool with you. We can kind of, if there's no questions right off the bat, or if there's nothing anyone wants to kind of jump into with the community, you can provide some updates on Warp and Enterprise and what's been happening there. If there's any, if there's anyone in the audience that has any questions for Vlad or myself about either TFL projects, what we're working on at TFL, the Terra ecosystem, kind of the direction that things are headed, really anything, feel free to just request to speak, and I will bring you up. It's pretty informal. If you guys have questions as well, and you don't want to come up to speak directly, you can also just reply to the tweets that went out for this space just a few minutes ago. You can just reply and leave a question in there, and then we'll just read them out and answer them that way as well.
Yeah, I'm done. Let's keep it chill. Starting off with questions today. So anybody has them, raise your hands. If you don't have questions and you just feel like participating, let's see some hearts in the chat, some 100 emojis, and I'll try my best to see if there's anything in the chat here. All right, so Supernova's got a question. It says, when Jax.zone? So I'm not personally involved with Jax. That would be Jason Stallings or Octal Mage. Maybe Zion has a bit more information about that.
Yeah, so Jax is actually going to be launching testnet, I believe, within the next month. So Jax is coming down the pike pretty quickly here, which is very exciting. For those who've been following Jax, maybe listen to one of our past spaces. Jax is a smart contract platform that allows developers to write and deploy smart contracts written in JavaScript on the Terra blockchain. And the reason why this is so exciting is because JavaScript is, I was just talking about this on the last space, but I just think it's important if blockchains really want to attract development talent, they need to tap into the largest development talent that's out there today versus trying to tap into like this fixed, small, tiny pie of developers that exist in Web3 today, right? Like Web3, we have to just recognize as an industry that Web3 is still tiny today in terms of how many, the percentage of total development talent that's working in Web3 versus Web2. And so we kind of have to meet developers where they are. And this means not forcing them to learn a brand new programming language to build and launch an application on your chain. And so Jax is going to tap into the largest largest programming language community in the world, which is JavaScript, which has, I think, about, from the stats that I saw online from Statista, about 17 million developers worldwide. So I think as an ecosystem, you know, one of the things that we should do as we move forward in the coming months and years is, you know, which is something that we've done, we've always done, is try and bring in users and developers from Web 2 into Web 3 by making it very easy for them to onboard into the ecosystem. And Jax is one of the projects that we're working on that is going to do just that. And it's going to be coming down and launching testnet soon for all the developers here. Stay tuned for an announcement on that, which is going to be coming in the coming weeks.
Cool. Yeah. I hope that answers your question. Lion Dao is saying, give Enterprise V2 alpha. All right. So for those of you that don't know, Enterprise Dao, as you know it today, is going to have a little bit of a refresh in terms of UI and in terms of functionality. UI is going to look slightly different than it does right now. It's going to look a lot cleaner, a lot better. We're going to have some more information there. So what I noticed and what I've seen is that people actually use Pulsar for their data. So what they actually do is they use Enterprise for like all the executions, like if they want to modify their DAOs, but then to actually see information about like their tokens, their positions, and all that fun stuff. We have a lot of users actually going onto the Pulsar website. So one major thing that we decided to do is actually partner up with Pulsar. They're creating an API. So we're going to be able to bring a lot of the Pulsar dashboard functionality that you see on their website. We're going to be able to port that directly into the Enterprise website. So you're not going to have to go on a completely different site to see information about your DAO. I'm pretty excited about that. The Pulsar team's done a really good job of making it simple to integrate. Literally just a few lines and you can get some pretty high volumes of data and aggregation and cool insights about your DAO. So stay tuned for that. And then obviously another main feature is that we're going cross-chain. And so I can talk a bit more about this if you guys want to know more information about this, but the gist of it is that your DAO is going to have the ability to create kind of DAO outposts on different chains where you're going to be able to use your same DAO dashboard to control assets on different chains. So like if you want to trade on Injective, for example, you want to do a bit of perps trading with your DAO, you're going to be able to set up an outpost on Injective, send some assets over there, and then quite easily use Injective as if, you know, your DAO is posted up on the chain to begin with. Two major features. I'd say beta within 2 weeks, hopefully. And then we got a couple people actually here in the chat that are invited to the closed beta. So who knows, maybe if you guys bug them enough, they'll share some screenshots of what they see and what they like.
Nice. Vlad dropping a bit of early Enterprise alpha for the listeners here. We have Bach on, who is a super contributor to the Warp community, actually. So definitely shout out to Bach on the Warp side of things. But Bach, do you have a question or something you wanted to chat about?
Yeah. Thanks for the intro, GM. I do have a few questions. So for Jax, is it going to be like launch on Terra main chain, or it's going to be its own chain?
Oh, he's searching for the alpha today, folks. Yeah, so this is well, obviously you're going to be able to use Jax on the Terra chain no matter what. So that's, I think, a given, right? That's kind of the whole premise behind Jax. But Jax might actually end up being one of the first feather chains. So I guess we'll We'll mention that here in this space for the first time. But yeah, Jax might end up being the first Feather chain. So a good trial for that product to see how it goes launching that and testing things out. Basically to kind of assuage some of the concerns for future chains that might be concerned about using, you know, a new tool to launch a chain. You know, if you're a new chain developer, there's, you know, you only get to do chain genesis once. And so there's definitely some reputational risk that protocols are kind of concerned with when it comes to launching their new chain using an existing tool set. And so I think one of the ways to kind of assuage some of those concerns is just showcasing how the product works. And this is not dissimilar from what TFL has done historically in kind of driving the adoption of some of the projects that we've worked on, is kind of first you build something that, you know, that we find interesting in solving a problem that we think is important, and then find a few people to showcase the use case for that. And then, you know, those individuals that are showcasing that use case can then drive further adoption for that product to other people as well. And so I think that's kind of the framework that we're going to be using for Feather, which is where, you know, first showcase how this product works, why it's useful for a few chains. And then I think once we see a few chains launch using Feather and see those chains also leverage the other tools that go along with Feather, like Station, Mantlemint, Alliance to bootstrap the economic viability of the chain, I think other chains are going to find it, other teams rather, are going to find it pretty compelling. And I think that we'll start to see a variety of chains, a variety of teams launch using Feather. And what that means for Terra is a lot of alliances forming with Terra. So there's going to be, I think, a lot of really exciting stuff to come for the Terra ecosystem. I was talking about this on the last space, but you know, I think if we can round out 2023 with launching some of the stuff that we've been working on, like Jax, Feather, Enterprise, you know, like the next iteration of Enterprise, Station, Station V3, 2024 is going to be a really great year for Terra. You know, when you look at the ecosystem, I just want to commend everyone here that's in this space right now and everyone within the Terra community. You guys are amazing. You guys have shown incredible resiliency during the DPEG and post DPEG in the ensuing months. And I was talking about this in the Cosmoverse space before this, but anyone would be hard pressed to find a stronger community in crypto than the Lunatics. And so I just wanted to shout out everyone here and just mention that, you know, the community is really the bedrock of any Web3 ecosystem, right? And so if you don't have a strong community, your project's never going to be successful, right? Like the ecosystem, your decentralized economy is never going to be successful. Conversely, if you have a determined, resilient community, that community is going to be the foundation that supports your ecosystem's growth for years to come. It gives you many at-bats to be successful in building different products, experimenting with different things, and ultimately being successful with some of those projects as they find product market fit. So just wanted to shout out this community. I know it was a bit of a tangent there, Bach, but yeah, hopefully that answers your question as well.
Okay. Yeah, that's perfect. Okay. So my next question is, like, is there any plan for a hackathon?
Did you say a hackathon?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, in the near term, one of the things to look forward to is at, so it's not technically a hackathon, but it kind of is. At Cosmoverse, we actually, because we're sponsoring Cosmoverse, we have one of the hacker lounges rented out for day two for basically the whole day from like 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So if there's any developers, any hackers that want to drop by, we're going to be posting details about that, obviously, across social media. So you guys can, you know, so everyone's aware of the specific details of like which room we'll be in, at what time, on which day. But yeah, if people want to come by, there's tons of different ideas that we would love to chat with people about to build, and also open to just helping. You know, we're going to have developers there from our team that can help help developers build their own ideas as well. Outside of that, I think we'd love to organize a hackathon in 2024. I think that's going to be a good time for it once we get some of these things launched. So yeah, stay tuned for more on that. We're going to be, actually, I think Chris, Vlad, didn't Chris already start, did he create GrowthDAO on Enterprise?
Yeah, so he hasn't created it yet, but we have two different kinds of DAOs that are being spun up for the purposes of like propelling our existing applications, their use cases, and their communities. One of those is GrowthDAO, where we have money, we have ideas, and then Chris was just looking for members, and I think he just finalized the list of members that are going to be in there. But essentially what GrowthDAO is going to be is we're going to be helping fund a DAO that then goes out and helps us build cool things that are related to our applications or that, you know, coincide with our goals. Same thing with WarpDAO, except WarpDAO is, of course, Warp specific, you know, as defined by the name. But yeah, super similar. Not quite a hackathon, but I think we could expect to see a hackathon sometime in 2024.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll say is if hackathons aren't rolled into GrowthDAO, which I'll talk to Chris about, we'll just create another DAO called HackDAO, and that DAO can organize hackathons for the community. So like one of the things that if people here remember, you know, we had TFI Alpha, which is a group of people that on Terra Classic organized in-person meetups in New York and also other areas as well. They were actually organizing one in Austin, Texas, right around the time of the DPEG. But we'd love to support initiatives like that in the future for people to organize in-person meetups for the Lunatic community around the globe. And I think that's going to be something that in 2024, I think we can start to focus on. You know, I think Terra's, we're getting to a really exciting point in the ecosystem right now where we're kind of at the point where we can be a lot more active than we were before. Like I talked about this when we first started these biweekly Twitter spaces, you know, we weren't really able to be anywhere near as communicative as we are now in the past. But now that we are, we can start to, you know, we needed to first focus on surviving, but now that we've kind of gotten over the hump, you know, in that vein from a lot of different angles, now we can start shifting towards launching a variety of these products and really start being a lot more active as a community, focusing on ecosystem growth, different things like that. And you know, the great thing about the Terra community is, you know, although that you know, you could look at the Terra brand and say, oh, you know, it's a bit depressed in terms of what it used to be, the community is still very much engaged. I mean, you look at like these Twitter spaces as just a case study. I mean, these Twitter spaces, if you look back at the tweet like a day or two later, like it's like thousands of people have tuned in a matter of like 2 days. And like Station is still has like 20,000 weekly active users or something like that. And this is like with very little launched, right? Like this is like with like everything that we've been through, you look at this and it's actually very, in my opinion, I'm like very happy about that because it just shows you once again, how resilient this community is, how engaged this community is, how ready this community is to support the next, chapter in Terra's evolution. And so yeah, we'll definitely, Bach, we'll get some, we'll, you know, we'll stay in touch and hackathons are coming in 2024.
Awesome. So I guess one last question. So we know that there are two apps that are currently live. So Enterprise is more like a user facing and also like developer facing in some sense, because it's also meant to be used by the different apps for them to launch their own DAO instead of like customized governance like we see in the past days. But Warp is more like a developer facing tool. So I guess the question is there any plan to make more like end user facing app today, or it's the strategy is more like keep building on top of Enterprise and Warp, and hopefully the community will come up with more user-facing apps?
Yeah, so we have to do both, right? We have to keep our apps going, and we have to grow their communities, grow their use cases, perfect the applications, because that takes time. And so we need to slowly get to a point where, you know, we've received enough user feedback and enough case studies with the applications where they become self-sustainable and popular, right? So that's really important by itself. But then we also need to build new applications. I think both are equally important. Not only for like the hype factor, to like, you know, keep people excited and keep Terra exciting, but also because we just need new things. And we do have a ton of ideas. And that's actually one of the things that HackDAO is going to be, or not HackDAO, GrowthDAO is going to be focusing on, is building, you know, the ideas that we at DFL, for whatever reason, cannot build at the moment. And we also have, you know, quite a few almost ready applications that we'd like to hand off to some teams. So, you know, one of those would be Nebula Protocol, that we're looking for developers to take up. We have a couple more that are in the back burner. So if you know people that are interested in doing that, then you know, feel free to send us a message and we can see if you're the right team to take up those projects. But internally at TFL, we're always brainstorming. We have projects that we can launch as well that are in the back burner. We're just looking for the proper time. And these, you know, can be both B2B and user-facing applications. But yeah, to answer your question, I think we need to do a bit of both. The ways that we can expand our existing applications as well also offer some pretty interesting opportunities. For instance, what the next steps for Warp are is I believe that for blockchains to be useful and for them to be popular, not just among niche users within crypto, but also within you know, real world applications, blockchains have to be connected to the real world in some, you know, shape or form. And interesting ways that we've seen this, obviously, are tokenization of assets and things like that. But obviously, you know, there's not that many connections to the real world, even in Cosmos. Of course, we have IBC, which allows us to connect to other blockchains. But when it comes to things that are not blockchains, it's still in its early forms. And this is where I believe we can have some pretty cool innovations happen. And then going back to Warp, one of the things that, you know, will help us reach the end goal of Warp being like a true decentralized automation layer is being able to automate things that are off-chain as well. And so one step that we can do in the fairly near future is explore how do we get data coming from off-chain onto Terra and onto chains that use Warp. And one of those ways are generalizable oracles. And so we've begun researching, you know, how to get data off, like from off-chain onto the chain to be able to use it. And then generalizable oracles seem to be the way. Now, how do we do this? This is something that, you know, still has to be debated, whether it's a module, whether we approach it with Oracle solutions that already exist. That's still, you know, up to debate. There's pros and cons to each method. But I think, you know, going back to the question, updating our applications can also prove to be pretty useful for the blockchain itself and can be used in other applications as well. Like if we have oracles, they could, you know, not only be used for Warp, but they could also be used for other applications like prediction markets and
and social media. You can build like consumer applications and things like that. So it opens up some pretty interesting avenues.
Cool. Thanks for the questions, Bach. We'll keep you up in case you have any other questions, but I want to bring up the next speaker here in case they have questions. I do not read, I'm just going to read your handle because I'm not able to read your name there. But Asunny, do you have a question? You're on mute if you're trying to speak. Okay. Well, we'll come back to it. If you're having a mic issue or something like that, we'll keep you up for a moment. And if you have a question, feel free to chime in. Bach, did that answer your question from before? I think Vlad, another thing maybe to mention as well is WarpDAO and how that's going to fit into what Bach said, building some of these user, basically leveraging Warp to build some user facing applications and job templates. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the way we see Warp actually is kind of like a programming language. So just using Warp, you could technically build most things that smart contracts are capable of building without actually having to deploy a smart contract. This is super interesting for permissioned blockchains because it kind of makes them permissionless in a sense, where once you have the Warp contracts deployed on that chain, you can deploy, you know, entire systems on that chain using Warp. But one thing that WarpDAO is going to be focusing on is building these proofs of concept, uploading them onto a UI, and kind of proving that you can do things that are much more complex than, you know, simple limit orders or daily reward distributions. You can do basically anything you want on the chain. And so an example of that that, you know, we're working on with the team is the Luna Burn Vault. And the Burn Vault is currently live just on Terra. So it collects all of the Terra fees that Warp collects, and then periodically it just burns them. So once there's, you know, above a certain threshold of Luna, let's say one for the sake of simplicity, it'll just go ahead and burn it by sending it to the WASM module, which decreases the number of tokens in circulation. To add complexity onto this, what you can do is basically the fees that we generate on other chains, we can take those since they're native assets of those chains. We swap them into Luna, and then we burn it. And you can do that by, you know, simply adding another job that swaps and sends over to the burn vault. And then you can add even more complexity by, you know, adding like another swap layer in the middle, or, you know, routing tokens through, you know, packet forwarding middleware if we accept, you know, several fee tokens. For instance, on Neutron, you can pay fees using Atom and the Neutron token. So maybe we can accept both Atom and Neutron, and then kind of route Atom through the Cosmos hub to kind of unwrap the IBC denom, send that back into Warp, and then burn it. But there's a bunch of really complex things that you can do, and I think we haven't even, you know, scratched the surface in terms of, you know, applications that are live right now. And one of the goals of Warp DAO is going to be building out these super interesting applications. And I'm glad we actually have Bach online right now, because Bach's been working on an idea called yield-bearing limit orders, which, you know, as the name suggests, it's limit orders that while your assets are sitting waiting to be executed, they sit there and generate yield in one way or another. So Bach, while you're live right now, if you could just go ahead and, you know, talk about what you're thinking there and where the idea came from and how we could execute that, I think people would be pretty interested in that.
Yes, definitely. So the idea is pretty simple, since like we're already using Warp to power the limit order on Astroport. So why not take a step further? Okay, maybe a few background first. So to explain how the limit order work. Basically, for any AMM out there, we can do a swap
on it, but that's always a market order because we can only swap at the current market price. For example, I'm swapping USDC to Luna on Astroport. I can only swap as a current market rate. So in order to do limit order, we are creating a warp job that will monitor the price of the Luna USDC. And we will only execute the job. So like it's not really we, it's like anyone can execute the job when the condition is met. In this case, the condition is Luna USDC price hits your target price. So when the price is met, your warp job gets executed. So at that moment, although it's still a market order, like you still swap as a market price, but since at that moment, the price met your target, so that kind of acting as a limit order. So this means like any AMM DEX can integrate warp and basically enable limit order. So that means Osmosis can use warp to do limit order. Astro Vault, which is another DEX on Archway, they can also integrate warp to enable limit order. And now, since we already have limit order, like it would be nice if we can also put the token that we are swapping from in use before the order gets executed, right? Because I think today in almost everywhere when we do limit order, the offered asset is just sitting there idle. It's not generating yield. But since we're on blockchain and all the apps can, you know, compose with each other, so we can actually take the offer token and deposit that into the money market, let it generate the yield, and when the price met our target price, we will withdraw that token from the money market and do the swap. So from the user's perspective, nothing changed. It's just like the regular limit order that you can experience on Astroport today. But under the hood, it will generate the yield for you. And when the swap actually, when the price hit and limit order executed, you get to swap more because you have the yield. But I guess there, I do want to mention there's a few limitations here. The most notable one is like the range of token is kind of limited by the token supported in the money market. So that means like if you are swapping USDC to Luna or Neutron or Atom, that could work because there's almost always a money market for USDC. For example, on Neutron, there's Mars. Also, on Osmosis, there's also Mars. On Terra, there's I forgot the name Cavern. Of that, but Carbon. Yeah.
And there's more money markets coming to in as well.
Yeah. Yes. But if it's smaller token and we cannot find the money market for it, then it's probably not going to be yield generating. But I think this will still, like, although we can only support a few large tokens, this will still be a step forward in terms of the user experience. Because it's really a you know, nice to have feature.
No, I think it's fantastic. I think it's a really interesting idea. I think it's this is one of the things that's really cool about this is this showcases the power of Warp in empowering different Web3 protocols to enable functionality that their competitors can't. So you look at like who, you know, like the AMM competing with the SEX, right? The centralized exchange. centralized exchange can't take advantage of DeFi in this way, right? The centralized exchange can't have yield-bearing limit orders where, like, when it's deployed on Binance, it's also, you know, going and earning a yield on a money market, right? This is a really interesting application of Warp. And these are the types of applications that we want to see WarpDAO create. You know, create job templates, create a UI where the everyday user can go in and enable things like this, right? Take advantage of different things like this, right? Like on Terra Classic, like one of the reasons why Terra grew to the size that it did is because applications, like you said, the composability aspect of DeFi is huge. And applications were able to build on top of Anchor and Mirror and other Terra applications very easily, right? So you're able to use, like, for instance, on Anchor, you could deposit UST and then get AUST. And then you could take AUST and go and use that on a different application for something else. Or protocols could actually build on top of Anchor and basically provide Anchor services to their users in different areas around the world. This is, like, something that different projects were doing. And this is, like, what I think Warp can enable on Terra, right? Like, Warp can be the protocol that basically tons of different protocols can build on top of. You could build vaults using Warp. So, like, think of, like, Nexus on Terra Classic. You could build something very similar to that using Warp on Terra now. And Bach coming up with this idea of yield-generating limit orders. Imagine, like, if you set a limit order for 30 days using this model. And by the end of it, your price didn't get hit. Well, if you're on like a centralized exchange or you're on some other platform, like, you just basically lost a ton of capital efficiency because your money just sat there and got degraded by inflation. You know, if it's, let's say you're using, like, USDC, you're setting a limit order using USDC, which means you're essentially setting a limit order using US dollars. You're exposed, your purchasing power with those US dollars is being degraded through inflation every year, right, by some percentage. And so as it sits there, it's losing purchasing power. It's, you're losing capital efficiency because you can't put it to work in any meaningful way. But yield generating limit orders, if you were to use that instead, now your money sits there for 30 days, your limit order didn't get hit, who cares? Because you still made money. You know, so this is the interesting thing about you know, these sorts of applications of these DeFi technologies, is you can build really interesting use cases that compose different things together. So I'm personally really looking forward to seeing what comes out of WarpDAO and the community's efforts. And I know Vlad will, as a contributor, I'm sure, provide his thoughts on what might be cool to build as well.
Yeah, like, speaking of money markets, you know, especially during the bull market, people do, like, very degen things. Well, I remember we saw back in the bull market, people would, like, loop their borrows and withdrawals, like, several times. So you'd go, like, deposit collateral, you know, withdraw stablecoin, buy collateral, deposit collateral, withdraw stablecoin, and then loop it. And I've seen people do it, like, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And I mean, one of the risks with doing that is that to unravel it, like, go back through that loop, it takes, like, quite a while. It's like, you can't really do that super quickly. And I think what would be interesting to see is how quick could a Warp job do that in comparison to, like, a human or even a bot? Because since Warp is, like, it's all executed within a block, I think you could technically, like, unravel it all in one go. Whereas, like, even if you had a bot, it would take, like, multiple blocks to do that. Because you'd have to, like, unravel it once and then get your collateral, sell that, buy stablecoin, put the stablecoin back. But I think that if you use Warp, you could probably do all of that in a single block. So I'm interested in seeing, like, cool applications like this be explored, just to see, you know, what the limitations of Warp are right now. I think what's super fun with Warp is that we're finally getting to a spot where it's developed enough where now we're just waiting to see, like, what the limitations actually are.
We're waiting to see what cool things could be built with this. And I think that's where WarpDAO is going to be super useful. So we're going to be announcing WarpDAO, I think, sometime next week, along with its members. And so I know a lot of you guys in this chat maybe aren't super technical, don't know how to code these things, but I know for a fact that I've seen many of these faces in the bull market, and I've seen you all do some pretty degen things. So if you have those degen ideas, be sure to send those over to the team, to the WarpDAO team, and then they're going to be able to test that out, put that on the UI, and then you're going to be able to play with your idea in the real markets.
Cool. All right, let's bring up the next speaker here and see what kind of questions they have. I think there's also some questions on the chat as well, so we can follow up there after this. No Pro Trading, can you hear us? You have a question? No Pro Trading, can you hear us? You're on mute if you're trying to speak.
Oh no! How are you guys doing? Good afternoon. I just saw your space open. I wanted to ask if you guys intended on implementing interoperability with ISO 20022 payments. Thank you.
I'm not familiar with what that is. Vlad, are you?
Could you repeat the acronym?
ISO 2022.
ISO 20022s. It is the blockchain that they're not calling exactly the blockchain. U.S. government's blockchain. ISO 20022s.
Oh no!
I don't think so. I've never heard of that.
No, yeah, we're not familiar. Sorry.
Very well. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Next speaker up here is Mayank Grover. Mayank, how are you?
Hey. Hi, Zion. How are you?
Good. Good.
So my question is for Bok.
Yes, please.
So interesting concept of using yield-bearing limit order. So you are using VAP to do the jobs, but what if you are liquidated in the money market? But if your assets are liquidity in the money market and you can't do a limit order after that, you got me?
Can you repeat the last part? Sorry.
So I'm saying, as you said, that you are using VAP to do limit orders, and like in the till the time it's not executing, you are using it to generate yield using money market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what if you get liquidated in the money market process and can't do the limit order after that?
So you mean if there's no liquidity in the money market?
What if there is a liquidation in the money market system?
I see. Yeah, that's a great question. So, yeah, I guess the naive version of the yield bearing limit order is like we just deposit the offered asset into the money market. We will not like borrow against that. So if we only deposit, there's no risk of getting liquidated. But like if there's some, so I think that's one caveat about this yield bearing limit order. It's like when we're trying to looking for source of yield, we can only look for like a delta neutral yield. So that means if we deposit our token into that, no matter it's a money market or it's a perp DEX, then that token shouldn't, the amount of token should not come out loss, right? It should only go up. So like simply depositing it to the money market have no risk. Well, like it has some risk, but that's more like a smart contract risk, not
liquidation risk. So we're trying to find this safe yield, basically.
Yeah, it's more like depositing into the lending vault, right?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Yeah, super good concept. All right, thanks.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, I also want to add a few more points on the yield bearing limit order and the VARP. So I think this also creates some great synergy between the DAX and the money market, because it basically utilizes money market more. Like, since you are, like, since DAX have this demand for limit order, and the money market has this demand for people depositing liquidity into it. So by combining these two, like, we enable, like there will be more people creating limit order on the DAX, and also there's more liquidity in the money market. So this is kind of a win-win for both parties. And also, I guess so. Another very cool part of it is, like, there's very little compromise we take on decentralization. So whenever we create a VARP job, only the job creator can access the fund used by that job. So like, there's no centralization risk. As long as the DAX and the money market do not, like, blow up, then it's all good. And nice. Also, like, executing the job is completely permissionless, which is actually pretty rare in other automation protocols. Because if we look at other automation protocols in Ethereum or in Cosmos, it's usually only whitelist address can, whitelist parties can run the keeper, like, can execute the job. But here at VARP, everyone can execute the job. So that's also, like, why I like VARP so much, because it is truly special.
Thanks, Bach. Appreciate that. Since you kind of led this talk into, like, decentralization and keepers, I kind of want to segue into kind of talking about keepers themselves and our strategies to get more keepers onto the network. Because the protocol is only as decentralized as keepers, basically. And the more keepers you have, the more decentralized the system is. And so the main way to incentivize keepers, as you guys may know, is that when a user submits a job, submits a transaction that they want executed in the future, they also submit a reward alongside this job. And what this reward does is it pays the keeper to execute their job for them. And so in an ideal world, the keeper always gets a profit. In our first iteration of Warp, one of the challenges that we faced is it was kind of hard to tell what to price your job at, and whether a keeper will execute that or not. And so one of the things that we're introducing is fee estimation. And what fee estimation is going to do is it's going to guess how much it's going to take to execute your job, similar to how blockchain wallets guess how much gas it's going to take to execute your transaction. And then you're going to be able to make a more educated estimate instead of a complete guess on your particular job. And this is going to make it super consistent to have, like this is going to make job rewards super consistent insofar that you're going to be able to make them profitable every single time. And so I think that's going to be very important. Like a very important upgrade to be able to get more keepers onto the network. And then another thing is we're going to have
we're going to have to make it a bit easier to spin up a keeper. I think right now it's only limited to like more technical users. But what we're going to prioritize with Warp DAO and, you know, internally here at TFL is number one, educating people about how to, you know, make a profit using Warp and how to spin up your own keeper. And we're going to try to make it easier to spin up the keepers themselves. So this could be done, you know, by making a single lined command that you could just run in your terminal. Even if you're not super technical, you should be able to, you know, copy paste that directly into your terminal. And another method would even be abstracting away any sort of codes and any sort of commands into a UI, so that if you want to run a keeper, you just download the program, press the button, and then it's up and running. And so I think that, you know, once Warp DAO is live, that's going to be another thing that we focus on is how to get keepers, how to make sure our keepers are happy and always pulling a profit.
Nice. We have another speaker that I just brought up here. Jason, did you have a question?
Yeah, thanks for bringing me up, and hello everybody, and thanks for building on Terra, given the, you know, the bear market. It's, you know, I think, you know, something there is to be said about you know, investing the time and effort into this, even if the rewards aren't there yet. But my question is sort of around the NFT scene on Terra. You know, I've been part of the Galactic Punks and Skellies and a few of the other ones, and I feel like the NFT scene is, you know, a great way for the community to get together, you know, to keep people engaged on board the next group. And I just feel like, you know, I haven't been part of one of these talks before, but, you know, with kind of what happened with Random Earth getting a community grant and then kind of building like an MVP type of marketplace, not listing very many projects at all. I just felt like it was sort of a disservice, and, you know, that that left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. But I know there's other people building here, but I'm curious if you can speak about what the, you know, how TFL thinks about supporting the NFT community more broadly.
Yeah, that's a great question. I completely agree. I think NFTs are a huge cultural element of decentralized economies. I think they're absolutely essential to every decentralized economy. I think we're still in the very early stages or the early innings, if you think about this from like a sports analogy perspective, in terms of what NFTs can enable and what can be built using that sort of technology. And so I think we're going to see more and more of that, you know, what we've done and what I talked about briefly, I think a bit earlier, Jason, which I think is going to be, you know, we're going to build on that even more, is using Enterprise to support NFT communities on Terra. And so, you know, what you can do with Enterprise now is you can spin up your own NFT. I mean, LionDAO is a perfect example of this, actually. So LionDAO within just a couple months was basically able to create a DAO on Enterprise, launch a token, launch an NFT collection, and then allow staking for those NFTs natively on Enterprise, and allow them to distribute their token directly to NFT stakers on Enterprise. And this has led to a pretty thriving Pix Alliance NFT community on Terra already. And this is something I do expect to occur as Enterprise continues to expand to other chains as well. I think we're going to see other NFTs, you know, other NFT communities on other chains take advantage of that opportunity. And on Terra, I think that this is, you know, we're going to continue to try and look for interesting ways to support the NFT communities on Terra in any way that we can. Actually, one of the interesting things that we're going to be doing in the vein of NFTs ourselves is in what Evan is working on, which is called Alliance DAO. So Alliance DAO is something he talked about, I think, in a couple of spaces ago. And Alliance DAO is rewarding those who participated in the Game of Alliance incentivized testnet competition, which was earlier this year. And what Alliance DAO is going to do is it is going to airdrop NFTs to those who participated in that Game of Alliance competition. And those those NFTs are going to be stakeable on Enterprise, and we'll put up a governance proposal to direct a portion of Luna staking yield to Alliance DAO NFT stakers so that they're earning native Luna staking rewards for staking those NFTs on Terra. And this is something that I think, you know, if there were NFT communities that wanted to do something similar, you know, where they supported the network in different ways, or they wanted to, you know, look for interesting ways to basically unite their communities, then I think that this is something that they can look to do. Where, you know, I think one of the things that I think is really interesting for projects to do is like retroactive airdrops based on previous activity that users did on chain. You know, I think that's a great way for driving engagement for different projects. And I think that's something that a lot of projects are going to take advantage of in the future, is doing those sorts of things, maybe ourselves included. So we're going to look to continue to support the NFT communities on Terra in different ways, through Enterprise and otherwise. But if people have ideas in the community of things that, you know, you think that that either we should build into Enterprise, or you think would be foundational in supporting NFT communities on Terra, definitely reach out and let's have a conversation about it.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for the question. All right, I will bring up, we're getting close to the top of the hour here, Vlad, but are you okay if we go a few minutes over?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. So thanks to the King of Rio. Welcome. Welcome. How are you,
sir? Hey, good, Zion. How you doing?
Good, good.
Hey,
I saw you had a couple questions in the chat. I don't know if those you were, I was going to get to those actually after that question there. But if you have other questions as well, feel free to toss them.
Yeah, it was just the questions in the chat. I thought it may be easier to come up and ask the question. The first one I think answered that maybe Warp will be rolled out to EVM machines. Is that correct, Vlad?
So to be clear, it's written in Cosmos right now. And to put it onto EVM, it's going to have to be rewritten completely in Solidity. At the moment, we don't have plans to do that. There's still quite a few opportunities here in Cosmos using Cosmos. But it's something that I would like to do in the future. Not sure when that would be. There's a lot of things that we tackle between now and then. But that's kind of the way it would have to go. You'd have to rewrite it in Solidity and then, you know, rewrite some keepers. So it'd basically be an entire rewrite of the system. And I think before that, there's still plenty of opportunities to go tackle in the Cosmos space. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. Second question is, in regards to this warp, you know, TFM is doing really cool things around the Cosmos. And I don't know if this is possible or if you answered this or not, but would it be possible to, you know, have a job where you have an LP that goes in the job and then it hunts around the Cosmos for, you know, better yield or stable coins, something along those lines? Is that something that's possible, or is that too complex?
Mm-hmm. So that it's possible. We just have to figure out like an elegant way to design that. It would definitely not just be with Warp. It would have to be using interchain queries to kind of search for the best yields across different chains. Definitely would be possible. And we can explore, you know, kind of building that out. I think what would be better suited for something like this is Nebula. Because what Nebula offers is a cluster of tokens, and this cluster of tokens can be rebalanced based on any strategy. And it can be composed out of, you know, any sort of tokens, LPs included. And so the strategy could be exactly what you said, is like, have the list of LP tokens in the cluster be, you know, the LPs that provide the best yield across all of Cosmos. And then the automation layer for that could be using Warp. I think Nebula is actually perfect for this. We're just
again, looking for a team that would be willing to take up the project and kind of work with us towards that.
Got it. One more question for you. You know, Kinetic Money was I think had just rolled out right before the DPEG. And can a DApp utilize this Warp technology to repay back loans or pay back loans as you accumulate yield?
Yeah, absolutely. As long as, you know, where you took out this loan is on chain, if it's a money market or whatever you use, then it's absolutely possible to repay it. Even you know, using your yield.
Cool. Thanks for answering questions. Super, super excited for what you guys are doing. Brand new technology on the horizon. Nobody else is doing so. Really excited. I'm sure the Lunatics are excited as well, listening to this. So thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm super excited to see, you know, what Warp DAO comes up with, because, like I said, we don't know the limitations of Warp yet. It's built to be a programming language. So essentially, whatever ideas you come up with, as long as it's on chain, and as long as you can get the data and write the data onto a chain, it's possible to do, and it's literally limited to a developer's imagination. So hopefully Warp DAO can spin up, you know, a website with a bunch of different examples and a bunch of different applications completely built using Warp. And then we'd be able to kind of see how far we can take it.
Yeah, thanks for the questions, sir. Big D, we got you up here. Do you have a question?
Yeah, of course. Big D is here. So does anyone know what happened to Pylon protocol? They simply disappeared and that's it, you know. There are lots of value what was inside, and Woojin Lim just went away.
Yeah, I think the Pylon protocol team is no longer building, at least for the time being, they're no longer building on Terra. Any other questions? Okay. I think, Vlad, the only other question that I saw that we might not have gotten to that was relevant in the, well, there was two. I guess one was when Nebula protocol. I think Vlad already kind of answered that. We're looking for a team to take that project and run with it. The other question was, which chain is going live with the Alliance module next? So yeah, Chihuahua chain, if anyone saw the news, Chihuahua chain just integrated the Alliance module just this week or just last week, I think. So I believe they're going to be forming an alliance with Luna relatively soon if it passes governance, which is cool. So that'll be another chain to integrate Alliance and form an alliance with Luna. We've actually been having a variety of really interesting conversations with chain teams here at Token 2049 in Singapore. And some of those chains are launching on Cosmos. So there are some potential opportunities there that I think might materialize in the coming weeks and months. And I also think that there's a lot of teams that now that rewards are live on Terra, you know, we posted the governance proposal, the Alliance signaling proposal, and then the Alliance follow-on proposal to effectuate those changes within the protocol with some smart contracts. You know, now the rewards for that are live. So Luna Stake rewards will go to the first 10 chains that integrate the Alliance module and incorporate Luna liquid staking tokens as Alliance assets on their chain with a positive yield. So now that those rewards are live, I think we can, it's also not just a, this is also not just a TFL thing, by the way. So like if people in the community think that there might be chains that would be interesting out there to integrate Alliance and form an alliance with Terra, this is just a matter of governance, right? Like, you know, posting a proposal on their governance forum on their chain to kind of start a discussion about integrating the Alliance module, laying out the benefits of, like, you know, why is this beneficial for their chain? You know, there's obviously a ton of benefits to integrating Alliance, one of which is diversifying stake yield. So bringing in diversified, cash flows from other ecosystems to augment and diversify the stake yield of the native token. So it's not denominated entirely in this recursive asset. And you can also utilize Alliance for other things as well, right? So it's kind of like this generalized tool that, although you can, you know, the primary use case for it is really to form these economic alliances between chains, you can also use it to accomplish different goals on chain. So this could be things like incentivizing essential token pairs. So you could incentivize the liquidity of different LPs by adding LP tokens as alliance assets and directing staking rewards towards that. You could also use it to incentivize the development of different things on chain. So you could do that through a couple different ways. One of the ways is basically by basically by having a team basically mint a supply of one token and then add that token as an alliance asset and direct rewards to that one token. So the rewards are going exclusively to the team that's building that project. And that can obviously change over time. So like the nice thing about alliance is it's dynamic over time. So like as the needs of the chain or the decentralized economy change, you can just turn rewards on and off as needed to different tokens. And it's basically like a mechanism. If you think of like blockchains, like I said, like digital nation states, it's like directing the chain's monetary policy, right? So before Alliance, you could really only use staking rewards to like buy security for the chain, basically. Now you can use staking rewards for a variety of different things. And so that's kind of what Alliance enables, is like the primary use case, like I said, is to form these mutually beneficial relationships between chains to strengthen the economic viability of chains. But then the other use cases are, like I said, you know, incentivizing development on the chain. Terra is using it to do kind of a retroactive reward to people that participated in stress testing Alliance on our chain. So like you could do something similar in other chains where they basically want users to stress test a new project or a new product on the chain. And then in return, maybe the users that participated in that get airdropped something, and then the holders of those receive Luna staking, or not Luna staking, receive native token staking rewards through the Alliance module. So this is where like the genius of this tool, like, you know, this is a brainchild of Doe. And like the genius of this tool is the generalizability of it beyond just forming the mutually beneficial relationships between chains, which I think is within itself. If it only did that, it would be an incredibly powerful tool. But when you look at what it can enable beyond that, it's actually pretty exciting because, like I said, it's essentially enabling you as a decentralized economy to just direct. It allows the community to just direct staking rewards towards whatever is important for that chain. Right. So it's like, okay, we need to get like some, you know, money market built. Okay. Use Alliance to like incentivize that. If you don't have a community pool that you can use or something, or, you know, you want to incentivize liquidity for a pool, or you want to diversify the staking yields with a native token. These are all things that you can do using Alliance. So I think it's an incredibly powerful tool that I think has slipped under the radar for a lot of folks. I think as people learn more and more about it, and I think as we show kind of on Terra how it can be utilized, more and more chains are going to see the power of it, and they'll start to integrate it as well. So hopefully that answers your question. Maybe provides a little bit of additional color there as well. Bad Crow, which was the person that asked that question on the tweet in the tweet replies. But we've went about 12 minutes over here. So Vlad, I think if you're cool with it, we can close it off here. I wanted to thank everyone for coming on, all of the lunatics here who came up and asked questions, joined in the discussion. This is great. We do these every 2 weeks. So if you jumped on a bit late, you can listen back to the recording of this one that Terra Spaces will so graciously post like they always do. And you can listen back to that on Terra Spaces on all of the major podcasting platforms on your phone. So I personally follow them on like Apple Podcasts, but you can do so on like Spotify and others as well. And you can basically just listen back to spaces like this and other Terra community Twitter spaces there, which is a great community service that they do. So thank you to them as always. And you can also join us in 2 weeks for the next Talking Terra with TFL Twitter space. Any closing thoughts, Vlad?
Yeah, I'm just super excited for all the DAOs. It's going to be quite the experiment. I think we're finally getting
you know, the community to participate in more functional manner, I guess, with actually building out some products that we need. And reminds me of the good old days, you know, when everybody would work together and we'd have like a bunch of community ideas and those ideas actually being built. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think, you know, can't forget to have fun despite, you know, how hard it might seem sometimes. It's always important to make sure you have fun and make sure you build things that you have fun building as well.
Yeah, it's time for the lunatics to have some fun again. I completely agree. I think we've went through hell over the past, you know, like year and a half or whatever it's been as an ecosystem. And I think the community is well deserving of some fun and also to see this ecosystem grow in the coming months and years. So I think we're starting to get to that inflection point. Like I said, we were kind of in the survival stage for a while there. And I think we're getting to the point where these products are either live or going to be live. And there's ecosystem projects outside of TFL that are launching as well and continuing to build. So yeah, a lot of exciting stuff coming from the Terra ecosystem. Thanks to everyone again for tuning in. And we will see you guys all in 2 weeks. Bye-bye. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Terra Spaces.